Please be seated. You've probably heard people talk and say, you know, this thing is so important to me, I'd die for it. It's just the thing I'd put my life on the line for. But I think maybe the better question is, what would I live for rather than what would I die for? What is it that keeps me living? What is the thing that keeps vibrancy and makes me feel like each day is fresh and new again? And we look to the letter of St. Paul and we have our answer. Love. Love never ends. And so that is our guidepost for living each day, that love is the thing we're after. Love is the thing we live for. The thing about love is, it doesn't just include me, it doesn't just include our own selves. We hear that famous poet, John Donne, who said, no man is an island. We're called to relationship, we're called to community. Love pulls that from us. Love begs us to reach out to the other. Now this past week, we all lived through some pretty frigid temperatures here in the state, right? It got pretty bitter cold. And I don't know about you, I hate being cold. It just, it's really not fun. And so I, you know, was probably like all of you, just trying to huddle in and stay warm and all that. And then Wednesday night, we got those alerts on our cell phones to turn down the heat. And I'm thinking, oh my God, really? You know, and it was, I'm like, okay. So, I complied, put on some more clothes, but it made me really think about how important it is that we all, whatever was going on, because I didn't know what the background was at the time, that we all needed, we're being asked to do something that had to do with one another, because in the end, we were trying to all sacrifice a little bit so that everybody could have enough. And as that the days unfold and the news came out, it turns out that it was effective, that enough people did comply, and that we did avert a kind of crisis that could have left some very vulnerable people without heat in those critical moments. So it comes back to this idea of relationship and community and acting out of love, a love that calls us to something beyond what we might want to do in that very moment. This love that's what is called agape love. You've probably heard the Greek word agape. And the love of God, the love originates with God for us through Jesus Christ. And it's a love that's universal and is without my own particular like or dislike. It's beyond our own emotions. It's a love of the will. Okay? This love is a gift that is worth living for. And St. Paul talks about that in his community, in his letter to the Corinthians. Now, one of the things you may know is that I'm a church planter, and we're in our third year of a new church, Episcopal Church, inside Crossroads of Michigan, which has a great relationship with St. Michael's, because I understand you helped Father McLaren back in the early 70s with getting that established. And almost 50 years hence, they're in a new location on West Grand Boulevard. And I discovered an empty chapel in there about 10 years back, and since my ordination have gotten permission to start a new community there. Because one of the things that really compelled me was wanting to understand and know the stories of the people that I would often drive by or in and out when I went into Detroit from my own suburban home. And I understand, you know, we have soup kitchens, which are good, and other things we do to help provide a tangible need for the people who come. I wanted to know their stories. And so I was able to start as a counselor, and I also wondered if maybe I could pray with people before they went and had their appointments. And so, like many, many years later, after being ordained, had permissions to actually see if maybe God is calling a new community of Christians to be a congregation in that place. And we are doing that work. We're in our third year. And I know I've talked with you about that before. And I've talked with your senior warden this week, and she was telling me about the work that you're doing in one of the schools nearby and some of the other outreach that you're doing, and how we talked about the differences between actually providing a coat or a meal or something that's necessary, but also the piece about, gee, who are you? You know, what are your gifts? What are my gifts? What do we have to share with one another as a community in this relationship, in this place where love really can be planted and grow? This universal love that might be beyond somebody I would normally talk to or normally want to reach out to or share my own story with or hear theirs. And so this is the kind of work we're doing and the kind of work that I understand you're all doing and seeking to go more deeply into. The special gift of this love, I want to bring us back to where that, how that kind of ties into Jesus's commandment to love God, love your neighbor as yourself. And again, the character of that love, and with Jesus being a breakthrough, love also your enemies. And we know how hard that can be. It's easy to love those who are, you know, really like our family, or sometimes that can be hard. but those who are share the same affinity with us, but those who are enemies are a special challenge. So we know that this agape love is huge. I'd like to share with you a couple examples of things that we experience at the church at Crossroads, and to really illustrate this point. We have a Holy Eucharist that happens at 1 o'clock every Sunday. In fact, I'll be going over there to do that service as soon as I leave here. And the soup kitchen happens in the dining hall at noon till 3 o'clock. And so if somebody might want to eat and then come and worship, and that's sort of the idea. And one day we were in the middle of the service, and somebody walks in from the dining hall, and he says, "My stomach is full, but I'm hungry for Jesus." And it really drove home that point where Jesus says, "Work not for the bread that perishes, but for the bread that lasts for eternal life." And so this is the primary work of the church, is building that relationship, helping someone else as we come to know ourselves as beloved of God. And this transcends our financial standing, the clothes we wear, our educational background, our gender identity, sexual orientation, the color of our skin. This is the good news. This is the good news of God in Christ. You and I, we are beloved of God, and so is everyone else in this world. About 2 months ago, one thing we're really trying to do is build up and call the leadership, people from the community who have gifts of leadership, to eventually be the leaders in that place, just as you are here at St. Michael's. And so we're doing leadership design teams right now. How do we structure offerings? What do the people need? How do we help call that leadership, form it, grow it? And so we have congregations in the diocese who are helping us think about that. And so some people came for a meeting, and also some people from the neighborhood. And we were sitting around the table having a great discussion. And then at one point, Sherman, who's from the neighborhood, says, "You know, I haven't said anything till now, but I want to share this. I pray every day that I not feel ashamed because I don't have any money, my clothes aren't great, and I just not like you all. I think you all are part of the elite. And I kind of held my breath a little, but I was thankful he was sharing that. But then he said, and I feel comfortable. And I was like, oh, this is so wonderful. Everybody around the table, somehow in their persona, somehow in that Christian formation, the Christian way they've been brought up, the Christian way that they've practiced, had an open stance of love around that table. Nobody, and some people said, we don't know, you know, your background. We're just happy to be together at the table with you. So this is the banquet of love that we will come to at the Eucharist. This is the banquet of love, the feast that St. Paul is talking to the Corinthians about. This love that's beyond any particular peculiarity of our own liking or dislike. God's love that transcends all of that is eternal. It's a gift for each of us. There's this poem that I found from the social workers way back when I started doing one-to-one counseling. I was not an ordained person yet. And I would say, you know, it's really, really weird because sometimes I feel like people just stare at me when I talk to them. And she said, you need to see this. And so I'm going to share it with you because what it takes to reach out and really get to know somebody means that we have to put something on the line often. And somebody may not be willing to talk or to make you think that maybe they'll give you a push away sign of one way or another with their body language. And we might go away feeling terrible. But, you know, this is where the work is. And it's important to be reminded of what's really beneath the surface for others, as well as for our own selves. And so this is called, Please Hear What I'm Not Saying. And I'm not going to read the whole thing. It's very long. But it starts out and says, don't be fooled by me. Don't be fooled by the mask I wear, for I wear a mask. I wear 1,000 masks. Masks I'm afraid to take off, and none of them are me. It goes through, my surface may seem smooth, but my surface is my mask. I don't tell you this, I don't dare, I'm afraid you'll think less of me, that you'll laugh. So begins the parade of masks, the smooth talk. When I'm through my routine, don't be fooled by what I'm saying. Please listen carefully and try to hear what I'm not saying. Only you can call me into aliveness. Each time you are kind and gentle and encouraging. Each time you try to understand because you really care. My heart begins to grow wings. Very small wings, very feeble wings, but wings. With your sensitivity and sympathy and your power of understanding, you breathe life into me. I want you to know that. I want you to know how important you are to me, how you can be a creator of the person that is in me if you choose to. Please choose to. I am irrational. I fight against the very thing I cry out for. But I'm told that love is stronger than strong walls. And in this lies my hope, my only hope. Please try to beat down those walls with firm hands. But with gentle hands, for a child is very sensitive. Who am I, you may wonder? I am someone you know very well. For I am every man you meet, and I am every woman you meet. God's love is eternal. It's unconditional. It sees not those impediments that we come with. And in travel in and out of each day. Love is for you, is for me, is for all. Please allow this week to be a week of grace, a week in which that love touches your heart once again or for the first time. Have courage to share it, even with those who may turn away.